We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Legacy Partners, and we're getting set up to go ahead and do a 30-minute strategy session, and it'll be as it relates to, I think it's relating to Legacy Partners and some of the new educational models, I believe, and then that's kind of combined with the kids at risk, too. Hey, Tim. Tim, have you joined us?
I have. Good morning. Is this Mark?
It is. How's Tim doing today?
I was just getting off the phone with some development consultants. My apologies. We've got a pretty critical meeting coming up and lots of last-minute stuff going on. So.
No worries. No worries at all. Well, what we like to do is sometimes we go over a lot of information in a short period of time, and people in the past have said to us, they've said, oh, we went over so much, I would have loved to go ahead and have that recorded. So we actually have the technology, we can do that. So just in case something as brilliant is shared, we will record. And if you'd like to have the recording of it, fine. If not, that's fine too. But at least we'll have it if you do need it. Tim, is there anything specific that you would like to accomplish in our conversation today?
Well, I was frankly just wanting to probe a little further how I specifically could be of help if, in fact, this would be a good fit for me. I certainly have a passion for helping young people, particularly those at higher risk. But
why
I
do
also
you think that is?
Well, I can tell you several reasons. I'm a father. And,
okay.
I think one of my greatest joys is being a father, and so I'm very sensitive as a dad to what happens when people don't have dads. I have just a single daughter who actually was adopted.
Okay.
And so in walking through some adoptive issues, just became aware of rejection and things that can imprint for life without real intervention.
So
in cases where maybe there's not adoption, but just not having parents that are active in parenting.
Right.
I've certainly seen the negative impacts of that. But I wasn't really sure what you did, exactly how you did it. Of course, my exposure to this at all was through Tanglewood.
Sure.
And we were privileged to sit in, my wife and I sit in on a meeting at Tanglewood for about an hour and a half several weeks ago, which was our first exposure.
Okay.
And I was quite impressed with the impact that this had on the people in the room, the employees of the company in this case.
And why? What was the impact?
Well, first of all, just the gut-level honesty that isn't typical at all in a corporate environment. And I don't know that apart from this mechanism, it's not that Alan and Nancy aren't wonderful leaders, and I'm sure we're doing a great job before they were interfacing with you, but I think this provided an opportunity for transparency.
Okay.
For those in leadership at the company beneath them, to just really come face-to-face with some issues, with themselves first and with those that were under their charge secondly.
Wow.
And that was readily apparent. And,
wow.
And it just was quite moving, frankly, to see that.
Wow. That's awesome. And how do you know Tanglewood? How do you know Alan and Nancy?
Well, we're in the development business in Western Canada. We're building some very unique buildings that happen to be the greenest, that is, most sustainable buildings of their kind anywhere. And one of the things that we're doing on at least one of our buildings is quite a large conservatory roof, a dome roof. And in doing my research, Tanglewood came out on top as far as the company could do the best job. Our buildings are very classically modeled. And so they're one of the few companies in the world capable not only of doing what we need to have done structurally, but doing it in a way that's in proper historical context.
Wow.
for what we're designing. Our buildings are brand new, but we've actually gone back to an architectural style that's been around for millennia, which is what I feel the green movement has been missing in the last 40 years or so. It's been very avant-garde architecture to a large extreme, to a fault, frankly. And that makes green buildings typically very dated, very fast, which means they're not sustainable because even buildings built in the 80s are already being torn down or substantially remodeled because they didn't survive the test of time.
Right.
They were more testaments to architectural egos. And we simply decided I didn't want to go down that path. I want a building that will be relevant. Since we're building our buildings with very sustainable materials that should survive like their European cousins for many hundreds of years, I wanted to be sure that the architecture would be relevant together with the longevity of the materials, because otherwise it's frankly not sustainable at all.
Right.
So that's a kind of a long story of how we got connected with Alan and Nancy. They came out to see us. They sent their advanced team first. We had a lovely few meetings with them, and then Alan and Nancy came directly, and frankly, we moved beyond business and just became really close friends really fast.
Wow. How long have you known them?
Well, we've only known them personally for a year.
Okay.
I've been talking to primarily Nancy.
Okay.
For about 3 years overall.
Okay.
And their product is actually going to be used in the second phase of our project, and yet we're at a stage now where we'll probably be building three phases all at once. These are 12-unit phases, very, very high-end, and just ultra-sustainable. These are the first carbon-positive buildings on the planet, actually generating more energy than they use.
Wow. Nice. So, Tim, is there anything specific that you would like to contribute or gain and benefit from being involved in the Kids at Risk?
Well, again, my initial inquiry was, in fact, is there a role that I could play? Is there something that I could do? I know that Alan has a real specific passion to train young people with trades, and to provide maybe a place where that could be done. I have a different vision that's more directed to leadership, to training leaders, in this case, who have fallen, to help them get, be they spiritual leaders, political or otherwise, that have fallen from grace and just need to be restored and set back on the path. And there are many. My own father was a pastor.
Oh, wow.
Who had quite a public fall and very debilitating fall.
Huh.
Emotionally, spiritually, and publicly. He's now 87. Both my parents are 87. He's been fully restored and is in active ministry, doing better, frankly, than I think he's ever been doing.
Wow.
And so I know that it's possible, regardless of age, to be restored. So my vision long term has been more about providing an opportunity for restoration. And
that is
Alan sees it more as preventative maintenance, I guess.
Right. Yeah, that is a very unique vision. I love that. My dad, he passed away in September.
And
he was 75, and he was a pastor and a missionary his whole life.
I see.
And so I have a lot of experience, you know, in that area, you know, as well. And so
uh-huh,
I love your
uh-huh.
heart. That's really cool. That's really special. How do you see that passion, your life vision, kind of connecting into the Kids at Risk?
Well, that's what I'm, I guess, determined to discover, to the extent I can devote time to that, and there, whether there's a direct fit or whether there's overlap, you know, I can't really say. I did appreciate the conversation 2 weeks ago Wednesday. I just pretty much listened. Toward the end, there were, you know, just a few comments made that frankly are a concern to me.
Sure.
That you know, I'd have to really explore further how much I could embrace that. I think, for example, and you'll forgive me, I don't have the notes in front of me that I wish I had from that meeting.
Yeah, no problem.
Among my minor traumas in the last few weeks, I fell phone fell and shattered from a Canadian plan that had to be replaced. I just got a new phone, and nothing's been loaded yet on it, and I had everything that I needed on that.
Sure.
So that's among the other things I'm trying to fix this morning.
Right.
But one comment in particular, and this was one of a few, but one that comes to mind is, you know, helping kids get through things without a guide. And I happen to believe that it's not possible to get through difficulty without a guide.
Okay.
And, you know, it may be necessary to get through without a mentor, without a human guide, but I don't believe that we can succeed in life without a godly guide.
I love
that. And so I guess anything that I were to be involved with, that would be really fundamentally important to me. I think one of the things that I love about our relationship with Ellen and Nancy, when they came out here, it happened to be one of the wettest periods we had had on the wet coast in a long time. It just poured rain. It was cold. We couldn't see. Our sight is so lovely. It's looking against the coastal mountains. We're right on the sea. But you couldn't see, 100 meters out to sea. It was foggy and rainy and awful. So we just had a lot of time to talk. And one such talk was at a restaurant, and I was just able to share my heart and share very openly my story, which Alan really resonated to, and we just, it's like we fused.
Right.
And he shared with me about his background, being Jewish, not really brought up with any kind of orthodoxy, but, that's what he identified with.
Right.
And yet there was a real spiritual bond between us, and remains the case. And it was just really wonderful to be with them a few weeks ago, to spend some days with them in a couple of environments, not just at their shop, but also in Pennsylvania with one of their clients at a farm for a few days. And it was just a really emotional time when we went to leave. So I have an older brother who's really emotional, and it's always a tear-filled event when we get together and then have to part company. So it kind of reminds me of my relationship with my old brother, and that's been really special.
Wow. Was that with
this? So there has to be a way that without, I appreciate the differences that Alan has. I've grown to really appreciate that, but I have very fundamental beliefs that it's not like I alter because of friendship. I think I'm just called to a higher level of love and understanding.
Sure.
And accepting him for who he is.
Right. So when you were in Pennsylvania, was that with the Steffies?
Yes, it was.
Oh, nice. Yeah. My wife and I had a chance to go out there and spend a couple days there, and that was very, very powerful. That was very powerful. So
it was very special, and just to hear Arthur's story, the tragic loss that he's had as a father, as a husband, not once but twice.
Right.
And just his spiritual woundings, frankly, by the rules of men, having nothing to do with true spirituality, and it's heartbreaking. It's just really heartbreaking. But I'm
spiritual
so thankful
background?
For this. I'm sorry, again?
Your spiritual background?
Well, my father is the pastor at a mainline church, a Reformed church, but he's a charismatic in terms of his, I'm sure I don't need to explain, but I became a Christian as a teenager, as a senior in high school, even though I had kind of grown up around the church. It wasn't until just a rather traumatic event in my senior year that it really caused me to make a commitment to Christ. And I went through, frankly, some of the more traumatic times in my life after that.
Sure.
Headed off to a mission field thinking that was my calling, only to get hit head-on by a drunk driver and nearly killed.
Oh.
And went through terrible suffering over many years. I broke almost everything breakable. Was in a coma for a long, long time. I'm fully recovered physically now from that incident. That was way back in 1979. And that's actually what kind of forced me into business. The church denomination that I was working for didn't have the proper insurance for me to be where I was, as it turned out. So I was left with an enormous medical bill of some $2 million by the time I even regained consciousness. And so I borrowed a vast sum of money in tiny amounts here and there from friends and family. I didn't even know people that were wealthy or people that one would consider successful by earthly standards. And so it meant a few hundred here and a thousand there, and I borrowed several hundred thousand dollars in the hospital, still recuperating just to be able to stay in the hospital. And so I couldn't file for bankruptcy. And interestingly, and I believe providentially, was given an opportunity to promote a keyboard competition from my hospital bed, and was able to raise several $1 million for that, both for the organization and for myself. And that opened the door to my, pardon me, being able to go into the piano manufacturing business in Europe. And that further opened the door to going into international education. I had done both undergraduate and graduate studies overseas at foreign universities, primarily in Europe, and parlayed that into an opportunity to extend to other students. And we became the largest study abroad organization in the world, sending about 3,500 students a semester to some 35 countries.
Wow.
In a variety of languages, and also for language training itself.
Wow.
And I did that for nearly 15 years. So developed a real affinity for young people. I wasn't a lot older than them myself.
Sure.
But I guess it became a love-hate relationship. I just sort of watched a generational change while I was in that business, with students with a sense of entitlement and not a great deal of appreciation, and I was making huge sacrifices to send them and to keep them overseas with varying exchange rates and other issues. But nonetheless, it became a very lucrative trade for me. We made millions of dollars, and it really shifted international education. I believe our program alone, from something that was enjoyed by a few elite colleges and universities to something that became quite mainstream in the 15 years that I was in the business. Basically, I was private labeling our programs to universities and colleges with no study abroad history or experience, which then enabled them to market those programs for credit within their own institutions. And I provided the round-trip air and the homestay, and I had exclusive control of all the contracts with several hundred universities. So if they wanted seats in particular schools, they had to do it through me. So it worked out very, very nicely until it didn't anymore. The first Persian Gulf War just took a devastating toll on our business. Right at the point of our greatest success, frankly. We had to call all of our students home. We had about 3,000 kids abroad at the time that war started. And it meant a multi-million dollar loss early that spring.
And what caused that?
Well, there were threats against American interest all over the world. It's the first time we've been at war for so long, you may recall. And,
yeah.
And so parents were calling nervously that they were afraid their kids would be exposed, and I just made the decision to pull them all home because it,
right.
You know, frankly, we just hadn't been at war before. That was a risk factor we hadn't counted on.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'll bring them home at my expense, help them reassimilate into their home schools, because we weren't that late in the spring semester when that happened. And we'll recover, you know, hopefully by the summer for the fall. And the war lasted just long enough that we had no summer program, no fall program, and lost multiple millions of dollars. Wow. I wound up having to sell out of that business. I sold to investors who just really wanted a huge tax write-off. So the business wasn't maintained. It broke my heart, but that was, you know, something that I had grown very close to in terms of providing young people, in this case, not with a trade opportunity as much as an academic opportunity that could forever change their life.
Right. I've got to jump here in a couple minutes to my next appointment. I'd sure like to continue the conversation if you're interested and hear the rest of your story and then also.
I would love to do that, Mark, and I apologize for waxing on about myself. I guess I just wanted to be candid to let you know my perspective and what would be important to me in doing this, because I.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm intrigued. Everything that you shared resonates with me in multiple areas, and so yeah, no, I appreciate it. I look forward to it. Let's see here. You're Pacific time, it looks like.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you have availability? Do you have availability